Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, today's episode is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners, and I want to especially thank Andrew today. And we will send along access to our premium site, as we do with all donations of $7 or more. Here now is today's episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, as we continue with the Alvin Summers Matter, Part 3 and Part 4.
From Hollywood, it's time now for Bob Bailey as
Johnny Dollar.
This is Lieutenant Gomez of the Santo Tomas Police Department.
Oh, yeah, Lieutenant.
I have been trying to reach you for some time.
Sorry, I was out making some funeral arrangements.
It is about the dead man that I wish to speak to you, senor.
Fire away, Lieutenant. What's on your mind?
Precisely the question I was about to ask you.
What do you mean?
Surely I do not need to remind you that Benito Escanza was found dead in your hotel room earlier this evening.
You certainly don't. But I've already told one of your cops the whole story.
Perhaps. Perhaps not. I suggest that you come to see me so that we can discuss it further.
Is that an invitation or an order?
Let us call it an invitation. But if you do not accept, we will have to come and get you.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Santo Tomas, Mexico. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar. To the Home Office, Northeastern Fidelity and Bonding, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an account of additional expenses during my investigation of the Alvin Summers $75,000 embezzlement case. Item 6, $25 American. Funeral and burial expenses for Benito the Bellboy. Somebody had to do it, and he apparently had no family. After I made the arrangements with the town's undertaker, I went back to my room and received Lieutenant Gomez's polite but firm invitation to drop in on him. So I went on down to police headquarters.
Sit down, Senor Dollar.
Thanks, Lieutenant. So?
So, the autopsy has confirmed the fact that Benito Escanza died from knife wounds.
I didn't need an autopsy to tell me that. It was obvious.
But what is not obvious is your part in all of this.
Look, the story hasn't changed a bit since I told it to your Sergeant Romero. I went back to my room at midnight. I opened my balcony door and enrolled Benito. His throat had been cut.
That is the story. As to what is behind the story, that may well be another matter.
For instance?
For instance, in a case such as this, everyone is a potential suspect. Everyone, including you.
Isn't this being pretty ridiculous, Gomez?
Is it? Then perhaps you would be kind enough to tell me if there was some legitimate reason Benito had his throat cut in your hotel room.
Well, in the first place, if you're interested in alibis, I've got one.
Indeed?
Indeed. I was with a girl named Gloria Harris up at the Hotel Playa del Mar all evening. You can check that.
Oh, you may be quite certain that I am checking on all your activities this evening, senor.
In the second place, if you're interested in motives, I don't have one.
No?
Why would I want to kill Benito when I was hoping to get some information from him?
Information of what sort, Senor Dollar?
Oh, I guess I better start at the top, Lieutenant. Here's my card.
You are an insurance investigator.
That's right. About 6 months ago, a man named Alvin Summers up in the States embezzled $75,000 from the company he worked for. The outfit I'm representing in the deal wrote the bond on him, so they were stuck for the money.
$75,000.
A couple of days ago, they got a long-distance phone call from down here in Santo Tomas. The man who called claimed that he had information about Alvin Summers. That's why I came down here.
Now, who was the man who telephoned?
We don't know. I came on the chance that he might contact me here, or that I might get some kind of lead on Alvin Summers' whereabouts.
And have you?
No, on both counts. Benito said he knew about a place where Summers used to live. He was going to take me there tonight. But apparently somebody had other ideas, and a knife to back them up.
I see. Nobody has tried to contact you?
Oh, sure. Several people have, but always for the wrong reason. First, there was a man named Carson, a zipper salesman. He contacted me for the purpose of setting up a cribbage game.
Cribbage? What is this cribbage?
Oh, now, that's something I hope I never find out.
Hmm?
Then there was a strong arm who bounced me around with a gun barrel and suggested politely that I wanted to leave town.
Oh? What did he look like?
Well, he was heavy in the shoulders, thick neck, low forehead, short dark hair, scar over the bridge of his nose.
Scar? That would be Senor Kraus.
You know him?
I know him by sight.
Well, who is he? What's his pitch?
That is something I do not know. Senor, you must understand that Santo Tomas is a rather strange town and a dangerous one.
Come in.
Hey, Lieutenant.
Can't you see that I'm busy, Sergeant Romero?
What is about Senor Dollar?
Oh.
Well, what is it?
Well, I have talked to a Senorita Gloria Harris at the Hotel Playa del Mar. She said that Senor Dollar was with her throughout the evening.
Very well, Romero.
One thing more. We have just arrested a man, an American tourista, Senor Carson.
I will talk to him when I have time.
Hey, wait a minute. That's the zipper salesman I was telling you about.
Indeed?
Yeah. Hey, look, maybe he ties into this deal after all. What's the charge?
Romero?
Disturbing the peace.
Oh, great. Just when I thought I had a lead. What's the matter? He got a few too many under his belt, maybe?
Well, Romero?
Here's the report. The Senor Carson is outside.
Gracias. That will be all. I will talk to the man.
Si, Lieutenant.
Senor Donald, if you know this man, perhaps you had better come with
me. Okay.
Dollar! Say, I'm sure glad to see you.
Hiya, Carson. What seems to be the trouble?
Well, it wasn't as much as they made it, Dollar. Fella goes out stepping. Sometimes he, well, you know.
Hey, he steps a little too far.
Well, I was only having a little fun.
Senor Carson, this report states that you are at the Hotel Playa del Mar this evening.
That's right. But now, Lieutenant...
It further states that you became increasingly noisy and that at one point, during a dance by an entertainer, you grabbed a serape from one of the musicians and attempted to join in the dance.
Now, Lieutenant, maybe I was a little out of line, but I...
Further, that when the dancer refused to dance with you, you chased her around the patio several times.
Trying to sell her a zipper, maybe?
Oh, no, Dollar, let up on a guy, will you?
And that, finally, when the musician attempted to get his serape away from you, you broke his guitar over his head.
Say, when you get going, you're a real tiger, aren't you?
Are these things true, Senor Carson?
Well, I suppose the facts are correct, but they sound different somehow down here. I was just trying to have a little fun, you know.
See, Sergeant Romero will conduct you to the magistrate. Romero!
But Dollar, you're just going to stand there and not do anything? After all, we both live at the same hotel, and? Oh, you're a big help.
What'll happen to him, Lieutenant?
Oh, you will have to pay the damages, and there will be a fine.
Which will probably go on his expense account. Lieutenant, you started to tell me about this Beetlebrow Kraus who put a few dents in me.
I started to say that before the people from Mexico City built the new hotel, this town unfortunately used to be something of a haven for undesirable characters from the United States.
Fugitives, huh?
Some of them still remain. And although I know very little about Senor Kraus, it is probable that he is one of them.
Could be.
You say that he and Senor Carson are the only ones who have made any effort to contact you?
Yeah, except for Gloria Harris, of course. I still haven't found out what's on her mind.
Hmm?
I mean, what else is on her mind. She says she's down here on a vacation.
Indeed. In that case, it has certainly been a long vacation.
What do you mean?
She's been here for several months, to my knowledge.
Well. Now, that's very interesting, Lieutenant. Thanks. Anything else you want to ask me about Benito?
Not at the moment, but I suggest you remain available.
You know where to find me.
One moment, Senor Dollar.
Hmm?
A word of warning. As I told you, this town can be a dangerous place. I would suggest that you be quite careful.
Yeah.
And one thing I wish to impress upon you. If you are at any time tempted during your investigation to take the law into your own hands, I assure you that you will regret it.
Well, in that case, I hope you're around when and if I need you.
Whether or not I am available, the warning still applies.
Okay. Be seeing you.
Johnny.
Wow, Gloria. I thought you were tucked in for the night.
I couldn't sleep, so I called your hotel.
Oh?
They told me that the bellboy had been murdered, that you were at the police station, so I came down here. Is there anything I can do?
Not for Benito, I'm afraid.
He was killed in your room?
Yeah.
You think he could have been killed by mistake?
Mistake? You mean maybe I was supposed to be the target? Hey, it's a thought.
Johnny, you're in trouble of some kind. I wish you'd tell me what it is. You're not just down here on a vacation.
Speaking of vacations, Gloria, let's...
Johnny, what is it?
Keep looking straight ahead. There's somebody across the street in the shadows. He's tailing us.
Can you see who it is?
When he goes past that light, I'll be... Well, what do you know? My old friend Krause again.
You mean the man who came to your room and was looking for you on the beach?
That's the boy. Funny how he always seems to pop up when I'm with you.
Johnny, I tell you, I don't know him.
Doesn't matter right now. Come on. Turn into the alley here. Okay. Now keep going straight down this alley and out the other end. Go back to your hotel and I'll call you there later. I may be a while.
What are you going to do?
Wait for him.
No, Johnny.
Look, Gloria, don't give me any argument this time. Get going. After she was out of sight, I ducked into a doorway. Then I waited. Yeah, Krause was following all right. I waited until he got right up to me. Then I dove at him.
You!
That's right, me. Drop the gun. Drop it. Yeah, this time I'm ready for you, sweetheart. Funny thing about me, Krause. I don't like guys working over me with a gun barrel ever. All right. Now you're going to tell me what this is all about. Why you've been tailing me. Why you worked me over with a gun barrel in my room last night. I want to hear all about it.
You know why.
Talk. I said talk.
You're not taking me back.
Taking you back?
I know you came down here after me, but I ain't going back.
What are you talking about?
I know what happens to a three-time loser.
Three-time
loser? Want me back home, you gotta carry me.
Hey, wait a minute. You ever hear of a man named Alvin Summers?
Oh?
How about Gloria Harris?
No.
You sure about that, Krause?
Look, Dolly. Look, I'm telling you the truth.
Yeah. I guess you are. You're too punchy right now to give me a routine. Yeah, I think I get it. You're wanted in the States. You figured I was a cop and came down here to make a pinch. Brother, right now I sure wish I was.
You mean you...
No, I'm no cop.
You say you made a mistake.
You sure did, Buster.
No hard feeling?
Oh, no, not at all. I just love the feel of a gun barrel whipping across my face. Krause, I got a nice little piece of advice for you. Next time, you better find out what the score is before you jump into the ball game. I left him there in the alley and went back to my hotel. Then, just as I was about to open the door to my room, I heard someone moving around inside. I went quietly down to the end of the hall, out the window, then eased along the balcony back toward my room. Inside, it was dark, but I could make out someone bent over my luggage, searching it. I edged across the room, slowly. Then I lunged.
Ah!
Hello, Gloria.
Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny. Helping me unpack, maybe.
Look, I can explain, Johnny.
You know something? That's just exactly what you're gonna do.
Johnny Dollar.
Yeah, remember me, sweetheart?
Johnny, I didn't think...
I'm the guy you were making the big pitch for. Dancing, moonlight on the beach, the complete routine. Oh, I gotta hand it to you, baby. That was real nice acting.
No, it wasn't acting, Johnny. I meant it, all of it.
Oh, sure, Gloria, sure. That's why I catch you here and searching my room. That's all part of the big romance, huh?
I can explain.
And that's just what you're gonna do. Hey, look, Gloria, one guy has already wound up dead on this deal. I've got a strong hunch I'm number two man on the list. And this baby I do not want. Santo Tomas, Mexico. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar. To the Home Office, Northeastern Fidelity and Bonding, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an account of additional expenses during my investigation of the Alvin Summers embezzlement of $75,000. Item 9, $17.60, business entertainment for one Gloria Harris. Believe it or not, I wasn't going to put that item on the account because I figured it might just possibly be a private romance. But when I caught Gloria searching my hotel room, I knew she tied into the deal somehow. That she could give me information on Summers' whereabouts.
Johnny, please.
Oh, no, you're not leaving, Gloria, not yet.
I'm not trying to get away. Oh, it's the use. You'd never believe me.
Why should I? You lied to me.
I lied to you once. Only once. When I told you I'm here on a vacation. I'm not.
Surprise.
The truth is, I'm stranded down here.
Stranded? Oh, sure. That's why you're staying at the Playa del Mar, the most expensive hotel in town.
I don't mean no money. I mean no passport.
Oh.
It's true. You got a cigarette, Johnny?
Yeah, here.
Thanks. Yeah. I've been stuck in this ratty town for 4 months now. Just hoping every day that I could figure out some way or find somebody to help me get back to the States.
How come you picked this town, assuming I believe you?
Because I heard that fugitives from the States sometimes came here. I've been drifting around for a year, from place to place. I guess I thought my luck had changed here. Well, it hasn't.
How'd you lose your passport in the first place?
I'll tell you if you really want to know, Johnny. Personally, I'd rather skip it. It's a long story and not a very pretty one. And it's all in the past. Let's just say I've made a mistake about a guy.
Okay, Gloria, okay. But there's one little item you haven't told me. Why you were searching my room just now?
Because I was trying to find out something about you, Johnny. The reason why you're down here.
Why?
So maybe I could make a deal with you.
Deal?
You help me get a passport. And I'll help you.
How can you help me?
You're looking for Alvin Summers, aren't you?
Oh, am I?
6 months ago, he embezzled $75,000 up in the States and took off.
Go on.
You came down here to find him. You're an insurance investigator.
Keep talking.
That's all. That's it.
Now maybe you wouldn't mind telling me how you know all of... Oh, sure. That report in my suitcase.
And the picture. Alvin Summers. I know him. I can help you, Johnny.
Where is he?
First, I've got to know if you'll help me.
The passport?
The passport.
Well, what do you expect me to do about that?
In your business, Johnny, you must meet a lot of people, all kinds. Maybe one of them has an extra passport or two, for a price, maybe.
All right, I'll see what I can do.
Is that the best you can say?
That's the best. Take it or leave it.
All right, I'll take it. I haven't any choice.
Now, about Alvin Summers.
I'll take you there, to Summers' place.
Where is it?
Down the beach, about a mile below town. Then into the jungle a little way.
How come you know where it is?
I met Alvin Summers a couple of months ago.
Here in Santo Tomas?
Yeah. I went there once for dinner.
Okay, you take me there, Gloria.
First, I'd better go up to the hotel and change. The country's pretty rough on clothes.
Okay, I'll meet you at your hotel in half an hour.
Johnny.
Hmm?
I only lied to you about one thing. The reason I was down here. The rest of it I meant. Last night, on the terrace and on the beach. I meant all of it. Really, Johnny. And I mean this.
You know, I'm kind of glad you told me that. See you in half an hour. I stayed there a while after she left, going over the case in my mind. Maybe she was telling me the truth. But whether she was or not, I had to follow up any lead I could find because I was getting nowhere the way things were. Half an hour later, as I was starting out of my room to go pick her up, my phone rang. It was a long-distance call from the States.
Fred Wilkins at Northeastern Fidelity, Johnny.
Hi, Fred.
Well, how's the fishing down there?
Fishing? A matter of fact, it hasn't been so good so far, Fred.
Ah, that's too bad, but I'll bet the swimming is all right, huh?
Whoa there, what's eating you?
I didn't send you down there for a vacation.
Well, you got a great sense of humor. You should see this place vacation.
Then what have you been doing down there?
What do you think I've been doing? I've been looking for whoever it was that telephoned you and said he had information on Alvin Summers.
You couldn't have been looking very hard. He called me again this morning.
He what?
That's right. He wondered if I'd sent anyone down there yet.
Hey, look, Fred, this guy is not easy to find, believe me. And I think I know why. Obviously, somebody doesn't want him to talk, and that somebody could be Alvin Summers, about one jump behind him.
Summers, you think he's around there?
Could be. I'm leaving right now to find out. I've got a lead on where he lives. There's somebody at the door. I'll call you when I get anything.
Do that.
Brother, fishing here. Oh, Lieutenant Gomez. Well, look, I'm in sort of a hurry right now.
This will not take long.
Okay. What is it, Lieutenant?
Early this morning, one of my men found Senor Kraus in the alley.
How is he feeling?
He had been badly beaten. He would not tell us anything, but it was fairly obvious who had done this to him.
So?
So, the last time we talked, Senor Dollar, I warned you not to attempt to take the law into your own hands.
Now listen, Gomez, if you think I want to take a pistol whipping like he gave me and not do anything about
do
it, you
do not misunderstand. I care nothing about Kraus personally or what happens to him. I'm thinking about something more important.
For instance?
You are looking for Alvin Summers, a man who quite obviously does not want to be found.
So?
So, when you find him, it is quite possible that there will be trouble.
Granted. But let's face a few facts, Lieutenant. You and your boys can't help me. You're in charge of the Santo Tomas Police Force, all two men. And I imagine you've got a few other things on your mind besides an embezzler from the States and an insurance investigator.
That may
well
be true.
So that means I've got to do it on my own.
Very well, Senor Dollar. This morning I attended the funeral of Benito Escanza, who was killed because he had information about Alvin Summers. If you find Summers and take the law into your own hands again, I fear I may have to attend another funeral. Yours.
That's what I liked about Gomez. He was the cheerful type. Well, I picked up Gloria at her hotel and we headed for Summers' place. We walked down the beach about a mile below town. The beach kept narrowing as the jungle crowded closer and closer to the water.
This place is in from the beach a ways. There's a little path pretty soon that leads in. You could walk right by it and never see it. Here it is.
And that's just what we'll do.
Hmm?
Walk right by it. I don't want to lead anyone else here.
There's nobody else on the beach.
I'm not talking about the beach. That's a regular jungle in there. 20 people could be watching us, so we'd never see them.
Oh, I guess so.
Okay. Now we'll go in here, then work our way back to the path. Brother, this is pretty thick in here.
Yeah. Oh, when you're walking through thick brush like this, you always feel like somebody's watching you. Imagination gets pretty strong sometimes.
I think it's a little more than imagination.
What do you mean?
Stop a minute. Listen.
I don't hear
anything.
Johnny.
Yeah, somebody's tailing us again. Look, keep moving straight ahead. I'm going to circle and see if I can intercept him.
All right, but be careful.
Gloria moved on and I started circling to the right. Every few seconds I'd stop and listen. Yeah, he was still there. I pegged the direction of the sound and started edging toward it slowly. Then my foot caught on a bar. I scrambled to my feet and kept going in the same direction. There was a small clearing ahead. I reached it, stopped, and listened. Nothing. Whoever I was chasing seemed to know the country better than I did. He disappeared. I caught up with Gloria a couple of hundred yards farther along the trail.
Any luck, Johnny?
No. Whoever it is pretty good at keeping out of sight.
Are you sure it was a person? It might have been some kind of animal.
Yeah, maybe.
You can see a corner of Alvin Summers' hut from here. Past that big tree.
Yeah, come on. And stay behind me.
All right.
If there's any trouble...
You think there will be?
Look, a guy who's this careful about hiding doesn't usually welcome visitors. Quiet now. No sign of life. Keep back against the wall. I'm going to open the door. Okay, Gloria.
Nobody home, huh?
Nobody home. Well, he seems to have a pretty comfortable place here.
You like to live in jungles.
Yeah.
What?
Looks like he hasn't been around for several days.
Oh?
The food in these cupboards, pretty moldy. Yeah, I guess they've cleared out.
They?
Uh-huh. He and whoever was here with him.
What makes you think someone was?
For one thing, two sets of dirty dishes over there.
Maybe he just wasn't neat.
He'd have to have been awfully neat to use two toothbrushes and two kinds of toothpaste, and two people have been eating at this table. See the crumbs?
Maybe there's something around here that could give you a clue to where he might be now.
Maybe. If he's still alive.
What do you mean? You think he isn't?
Oh, I don't know. But if somebody else was living here, too, it could mean he had a partner in this deal. And it's a funny thing about that kind of playmates. Sooner or later, they start quarreling about who's going to hold the marbles. $75,000 worth in this case.
But Johnny, if he is dead, that leaves you nowhere.
Maybe not. Listen.
What?
Yeah. Sounds like our shadow is somewhere outside. Keep talking, Gloria. Normal tone. I'm going out the back way and see if I can spot him.
Why don't you look around the hut, Johnny?
Gloria kept up a line of patter while I slipped out the back door and into the brush. I listened.
Do you want me to do anything?
Nothing but the sound of Gloria's voice.
Johnny?
He had to be somewhere near. But where? I worked my way around to the front of the cabin, still under cover. No sign. I kept on around the other side. Then as I started to climb over a fallen tree trunk, I saw a shadow out of the corner of my eye.
Hold it. Don't turn around.
The voice was behind me. I could see the rest of the shadow now, a hand with a gun. And I knew it was zeroed in on my backbone.
I said hold it.
I'm holding.
Drop your gun. Kick it backwards, quick.
Hey, look, whoever you are...
Don't turn around.
Okay.
And don't try to move.
Mind telling me?
Keep your eyes straight ahead. Any move at all, it'll be your last.
There'll be the final exciting episode in our story of the Alvin Summers matter tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow. How to find out what you've been looking for the hard way. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Robert Reif, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Well, a couple of interesting points. First of all, I like that Johnny established, or that the writers established, that each part in the episode doesn't have to begin with Johnny answering the telephone, as long as somebody's saying the name of Johnny Dollar. And I remember enough about this serial that'll continue when we get to part five. We're leaving you in some suspense for a couple of days. I'm certainly looking forward to hearing the solution to this. You know, incredibly well-paced, well-set-up. Really a great story so far. The only thing I will say is I'm somewhat disappointed in Johnny Dollar not liking cribbage. Great game. Favorite card game, I guess it was. It's been passed down my grandfather to my father to me. So that's my fondness for it. But I probably bet that Johnny Dollar's more of a poker guy. All right, well, listener comments and feedback. We have this from Andrew. And he writes, your podcast have been a great enjoyment through a bitterly cold Fairbanks winter here in Alaska, most especially since I had double knee surgeries. While I waited for doctors to get to me, your programs played in the smiles and memories brought through earbuds. Thank you very much. And he said that these radio programs remind me of being 5 to 7 years old, sitting on my grandfather's lap, listening to Mystery Theater and other radio programs in the hunting shack. Thank you for your time and efforts. Hopefully I can make monthly contributions to help this great site up and running for my personal usage. Plus, radio in Alaska is horrid. Well, we're glad to provide you some great entertainment through the power of the internet, and every contribution definitely appreciated. Now, Andrew did reference the donation button, kind of hard to find, and so I'm going to work on that. I'm thinking of trying to modify the data we have at support.greatdetectives.net so that it's set during the times when we're not doing the listener support campaign as kind of a all year donation spot that will work for people and be easy for folks to find. So thanks for all your feedback and for your great support, and hope your recovery continues to go well up there in Alaska. I've always thought it'd be fun to go to Alaska in the summer. I don't know if I'd want to stay a whole time with those long days, but maybe a couple of them wouldn't be so bad. I've always been a bit of a night owl and reluctant to go to sleep. So 2 or 3 20-hour days, it seems like it'd be an interesting concept. Well, anyway, that'll do it for today. We'll be back tomorrow with Sherlock Holmes, and then join us on Friday for the big finale as we wrap up the Alvin Summers matter. In the meanwhile, your comments are appreciated. Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.